Well, it's good to hear some testimonies of some real life things that people struggle with every day. And we serve a God that meets us and answers prayer. And we've been talking about faith last week, and we're going to talk about faith this week and focus on that for these 2 weeks. And last week we talked about the shield of faith that's able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. And we talked about hearing the word of God, and when we hear the word of God, that's how faith comes. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we talked about declaring the word of God in our life. And so we wanted to give you a little taste of some testimonies of a few people that God met in the last few weeks. And so God's good. And it's important to have faith. We learned last week that the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I'm sure everyone here today wants to please God. I know I do. I want to be pleasing to Him. And so faith is an important part of our life. And so we're talking about living by faith. And I'm going to continue on last week where I left off. And this is Living by Faith Part 2. And I want to read a scripture before we pray. In Matthew it says, "So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I would say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Father, we just come to you in your name, Lord. We lift your name on high. We know you're recognized as our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Lord, we just pray that today your word will become alive. And Lord, that we would be able to have more insight on living by faith and having a strong faith in our life. Lord, I just pray that you'll bless these words, you'll anoint them, and you'll anoint the ears of people here to hear what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read one more scripture that went along with that. In Mark 11, 22 and 24, it says, "So Jesus answered them and said, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to will be done, and he will have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Now, before we work through these scriptures to see how they work with our faith, the first thing is it talks about mountains in our life. And so we talked a little bit about deflecting these darts that the enemy, but there becomes times in our life that there's mountains. And maybe guys, maybe just before we get into it, you could play this song. Everybody probably knows it, but thought the words were kind of fitting.
Listen, baby, ain't no mountain high, ain't no valley low, ain't no river wide enough, baby.
If you need me, call me, no matter.
Everybody know that song? Yeah. When you listen to it, you know, I think about some spiritual aspects on that. And you know what? There ain't no mountain high enough for God. And there ain't no valley low enough for God. And there's no river too wide enough. And I just thought we'd start with that song because I want to talk a little bit about mountains. And, you know, our God's bigger than any mountain. And we face mountains in our life, and mountains have they can affect us. They can cause us to either fail or they can cause us to excel. And they can be something that pulls us down. And we have to have faith if we want to overcome mountains. And we all go through them in everyday life. We all have mountains. And, you know, when I was home on vacation and we went snowmobiling, we seen some big mountains. And there was a huge amount of snow there. There was like 7 feet of snow in the woods. And that's hard to imagine living in Kitchener. When I was there, I said, well, the nice thing about when I come back from vacation to Kitchener, we'll have no snow. And of course, we woke up with a little bit. But I don't know if you can imagine like maybe this much snow in the woods. And so we were in these woods snowmobiling. You know, the Lord brings this stuff to my remembrance and when I'm thinking about mountains. And we were driving along this groomed trail in the middle of the woods on the side of a mountain, mountain on the other side, a big valley here. And we came to a spot where you could see up the side of the mountain. You would have to go through trees. There was no trail, just right straight up the side of a mountain. And, of course, we stopped to have a break. There was probably 10 of us. And I said to my son, we should see if we could get to the top of that. And he's like, and I was thinking, like, he's the crazy one. And I'm thinking, he's going to say, yeah, let's go, Dad. Let's hit her. He's like, no, you're crazy. I'm not going to go up there. I'm like, what? And he's like, no, I'm not going up there. My cousin's son with us, he's the same age as Joel, and he had more guts than Joel. He's like, yeah, I'll go up first, man. And I'm like, you really want to go, Noah? His name's Noah. And I'm like, yeah. He's like, yeah. So anyhow, we went up the steep hill. So he goes up first. He gets stuck at the top, the very top. So I go up and see him, and I come back down. Joel's now getting some, you know, he's starting to get brave because we've already gone up and beat a path down. So he goes up. We had to help him get out, you know, like there's that much snow, this mountain. And I had to go break another trail up this mountain in another spot. And, of course, my sled's designed for it. It's a mountain sled, long track. Well, I call it a mountain sled. It's long track. It's great in deep snow, whereas the other guys' short bed ones are not as good. But anyhow, I went up and got up there and got off to help my cousin's son get out, and I sunk right to here. And I couldn't get out. I was stuck in the snow. So the boys had to dig out with their hands, and I had to crawl up out and crawl to my snowmobile. But saying that, when we first looked at that mountain, some of us wanted to go up it and some of us didn't. You know how faith works, right? And it was a challenge, and we knew that there was going to be some major problems trying to get up this mountain. Like, and we were going to get stuck, possibly. None of us wanted to. And, you know, it's funny how Joel went up after there had been a trail. But, you know, sometimes we climb mountains, and we have to break our own ground to get to the top. To get through these things in life, these challenges, these big mountains we don't think we can overcome. And then there's other times we'll go up a mountain that we've already gone up before. We've already had a trail broke up over there, and it's not as bad because we've already been through that, and we know. But thinking about mountains in our life, you see, these things are real live things that we face every day in our faith. Is what determines whether we say to the mountain, whether we overcome the mountain, or we don't. You know, Noah and I could have stayed at the bottom of the mountain and said, no, we're not going to go up over that. There's no trail. That's insane. It's not going to happen. It's not possible. But we did. We had some faith that we were going to do it. I had faith in my sled because it was an Arctic Cat. Now, if it was a Polaris, it might not make it. It's a joke. Lost my train of thought, just like that. talking about different brands, you know, just like if you're a Chev man or you're a Ford man or you're a Dodge man. We all have our things. But these mountains in our life that we have to climb, we have to face these things. And, you know, it's no good for us to run and hide from them. It's no good for us to sit back and say, oh, that mountain's too big. I'm not going to go up there. I'm just going to cave in. I'm just going to give in to it. Right? How many times we do that? I'm not going to go. It's too big. I can't get over this one. But we have to. We have to allow that faith to rise up inside us and say, you know what? We can do it. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. We have to have that mentality that we can do these things. You see, in the first scriptures I wrote or read, I'm going to read it again. I'm going to go back to it. Jesus says to him, all you have is enough faith as big as a seed of mustard. A mustard seed is small. It's very tiny. Probably lots of you have heard tell this story before. But I know what mustard's like. Mustard is a very fine little seed. And I've had mustard grow up in my grain crops. And most grain farmers despise that plant. And they'll spray with a spray. Now, I don't know what it's like in Ontario, but in the East Coast, it's like a weed that grows. And we'll spray for it to get rid of it. And these plants can grow huge. This little seed you don't even know is there can grow really tall and spread. Like you get that in your field and you don't spray, it'll just rapidly just go through your whole field. Well, Jesus is saying all as we need is a little bit of faith to move the mountains in our life. He's not saying we have to have a lot of faith. He's saying if you just give me a little bit of faith, if you just give me a little tiny seed, you give me something to work with, I can make it happen. But sometimes we get looking to the left or the right. We get distracted and we think, oh, this is too big for God. But see, nothing is too big for God when we have faith. That mustard seed faith. That mustard seed faith can turn any situation around. It can turn any sickness around. It can turn any financial thing around. It can turn any family issue around. Just that little bit of faith. He's not asking us for a lot. He says, just give me a little bit of faith. And in that passage, he was telling his disciples that. Just give me a little bit of faith. See, you see, what happened was there was a child that was had epilepsy and was taking a seizure, and they couldn't cast that spirit out. And the father said to Jesus, can you do it? And Jesus just said, in the name of Jesus, come out, you're healed. And so then Jesus says to his guys, all you need is just a little bit of faith and you can do the same thing. You see, we can do the things that Jesus wants us to do with just that little bit of faith. It moves mountains. In Mark, I read, it says, and Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whosoever shall say unto the mountain. You know, there's times in our life we just have to speak to the mountain. How do you get rid of the mountain? You speak to it. You say, poverty, get out of my house in the name of Jesus. You begin to speak to it. Like last week when I talked about declaring the word. Jesus is saying, speak to the mountains in your life. Poverty, go in the name of Jesus. Yeah, you got to quit spending if you're spending too much. But when you begin to speak to your mountains, sickness, go in the name of Jesus. Declare that. Speak that word. He's saying if you speak to your mountain, what is the mountain in your life that you need to speak to today? We all have mountains in our life. I have mountains. You have mountains. When we get out of bed in the morning, we need to speak to our mountain and say, mountain, be removed. I'm not accepting that. Fear in my life, you're gone in the name of Jesus. I will not accept that in my life. I'm going to take the shield of faith, push you back in the name of Jesus, and I'm going to allow the peace of God to come and rest in me. You take that faith, that little bit of seed. See, it doesn't take a lot. It just takes some effort on our side and a little bit of believing. He says to speak to your mountains. And he said, if you speak, they'll be removed and cast in the sea. And then what's he tell us to do? He says, and if we don't doubt in our hearts. See, that's where we fall short most of the time. We'll get up and we'll speak to our mountain. Mountain, in the name of Jesus, be removed. Job, be removed. In the name of Jesus. And then we let the doubt start to come in. And the doubt starts to say, oh, you know, you'll never ever get another job again. You'll never, you know, you'll be, you know, on social assistance the rest of your life. You know, that's how he speaks to us, right? The enemy. He tries to place doubt in our heart. But he says to not doubt in our heart. But believe, he says. And those that believe in these things, they'll be done. We can't doubt. We have to believe in these things. Peter's a great example of faith, but letting things get in the way. You know, he got out of the, you know, he was in the boat. They thought they seen a ghost. He said, if that's you, Jesus, bid me to come and I'll come. And Jesus says, come. He gets out of the boat and he begins to walk. He has faith to do it. He has a mustard seed faith. To me, that's bigger than mustard seed to me, but he did it with a little bit of faith. But he allowed doubt to get in his heart. Because as it began to toss, the winds blew and the waves, what happened? He allowed the doubt to get in him and he began to sink. On the upside, Jesus stepped out and reached, grabbed his hand and saved him. But it says not to doubt, to believe, and the things which you say will be done. And whatsoever you say, therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. You can't attack a mountain. You can't climb a hill if you don't think you're going to make it. I thought I could make it with that F8 Arctic hat to make it to the top. I thought I could make it. I had faith in that machine. You see, I had faith in something. It was that snowmobile. But we need to have faith in God. When we face these life mountains in our life, we need to have faith in Him. And He says if we have that faith and we doubt not and we believe, He says we'll have those things. We'll be able to overcome any mountain. See, because nothing's impossible with God. We serve a God that if we just have a mustard seed of faith in Him, He shows up on the scene to save us, to bring that miracle. Climbing mountains, causing them to fade away. You know, I think, thinking of mountains, sometimes we just look at the mountain and say it's too big. And when we went to New Brunswick too, we went skiing, and I took my daughter and her friend, and he had never been, young Romanian boy, never been on a snowmobile before or never been skiing, and so he had a great opportunity to experience that. I took him to the top of this mountain in the U.S., and they played all day, first of all, on the Bunny Hill, which would be bigger than the biggest mountains around here. The Bunny Hill would be bigger than, like, Blue Mountain. That would be a bunny slope. Because this one at the top, people looked like houses looked like dots. We took some pictures. And we used to ski there all the time. I got up there myself, got Hannah and them after they had skied all day. I said, we're going to the top, doing the big hill. And they're like, okay. We get up to the top. They're like, can I go back down on the chairlift? That was their thought process. They allowed fear to start coming in. Doubt. I don't think I can do this. And I'm like, oh, yeah, we can do this. Even myself, I was looking at it thinking, I don't remember that hill being that big. But, like, I wasn't going to give in to it. And I wasn't going to show them that I was like, You know, it was 20 years since I had probably skied there. But we got down the hill. I said, you know what? We're going to go side to side, and we're going to just work our way down. And they made it. They were willing to give up before they even started once they seen how big the mountain was. But, you know, sometimes that's what we do. We look at this big mountain in front of us, but we don't look at how much bigger our God is. Because what happens is, if you really get to know who your God is, this mountain that looks so big in your life, well, it's small. It's like a mustard seed compared to the bigness of the God we serve. But we tend to look at the mountain and not at the source and how big he is. This is the God that created us, created this whole universe. Do you think he can't fix a job or fix a family or fix a marriage or fix a bad arm or fix a bad leg or fix an eye? Well, he can. The mountains we face. Look to the bigness of how big our God is. Don't look at how big the mountain is, because the mountain's tiny compared to God, because he's everywhere. The bigness of our God. See, when we have a little bit of faith, you can move any mountain in your life. I truly believe that. With a little bit of faith in God and in his word and in his promises, I truly believe there's no mountain in life that we can't overcome. That's too big for our God. Number two, persistent faith. Talk for a minute about persistent faith. Talked about faith that can move mountains. We've talked a lot about different types of faith. But persistent faith. And I think persistent faith is really important, because you can have faith and then you can allow doubt to come in. You can have faith in the beginning and let it drop. But we have to be persistent. There's a couple stories I just like to paraphrase in the Bible. And one of them is, we know the woman that had the issue of blood, that had this blood disorder in her life. She had tried every source to get help for that. She spent all of her money trying to get over this sickness, and nothing helped her. There was no help. But she knew that if she could get where Jesus was, and if he could pray for her, she would get healed. And so she shows up to see Jesus, and there's this massive crowd, and she can't get to him because there's such a big crowd. And the Bible says she pressed through the crowd. And we've all been to hockey games or football games or concerts where there's been crowds and you've had to try to press through. You come to Walk of Lights and you have to press through a crowd. And sometimes it's hard. But this woman was not going to give up. She was persistent. That was a tremendous quality in her that helped her faith. She was a persistent woman. She wasn't looking at the circumstance and saying, oh, there's too many people, I might as well go home, and maybe I can see him, you know, a month from now. No, she didn't say that. She was thinking, how am I going to get through to get up to Jesus to get healed? She was being persistent. She forced her way to him. And she didn't even touch his hand or his arm or anything. She just touched the Bible says the hem of his garment, his robe. You see, we serve a God that has so much power that can do anything for us. We don't even have to touch his hand or his head or anything. If we can just get close enough to touch just his clothes, he meets us. And her persistence paid off. And she got her miracle that day. Because she didn't give up. Because she didn't go home. And there's another story in the Bible where, and this is kind of cool because this fits in a bigger setting. But there's another story in the Bible where there was a man that was paralyzed and lame. And his friends, some men, took him, carried his bed to see Jesus. And there was such a crowd of people in the house, they couldn't get him in. But you see, there was some guys carrying this guy that had some faith. They had some mustard seed faith. And they got to where Jesus was and they couldn't get him in. And what did they do? They climbed up on the roof. You see, they were persistent. They weren't going to give up either. They went up on the roof, and you know, I've done some roofing before, and I'm sure it was quite a job for them to peel off the roof. They took this man up there in a stretcher. That'd be hard enough to get him up in a stretcher or a bed. And then they had to peel the roof off, and they lowered him down in. That's persistence. That's not giving up. And when they dropped him down, shortly after Jesus healed him, said, take your stuff and go home. Persistence. We need to develop persistent faith. A not quitting attitude. Not giving up. Too many people give up just because it looks too big. Or it's too hard. The Bible says that we should stand. It says in Corinthians, be on your guard, stand firm in faith, courageous, and be strong. We need to stand. We need to stand on what God says. And faith that doesn't give up. But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. Better read that again, because sometimes we tend to be quitters. We've all done it. We've all quit in the midst of things. It says, but as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. In Psalms, it says, though he may stumble, he will not fall. For the Lord holds him with his hand. And Galatians says, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. You see, we can't give up. And there's times we need to quit. We feel we need to quit. You know, I know when I was building my house, we were living with my brother and sister-in-law, and we needed to get in, and I was on a time strain. And there was times I felt like giving up. I was working all day long, and between my business and building this house myself, and there was times I felt like giving up. And I know there's people here that have done that. There's a young man here that knows what I'm talking about, and I give him the lecture. One day, he was feeling like giving up. He was doing a reno on his house. I won't tell names because then that'll get up. And I said, you know, I said, he was tired. And I had been there before. And I said to him, I got to be careful not to use his name. I said to him, I said, you know what? You got to find something right down deep in you. You got to dig deep right now to get this done. You can't quit. You're so close to the end. You got to muster the strength that you don't know where it's coming from. And you got to be persistent and finish this thing. It's so much like in our life, right? We just want to stumble along the way. Not by choice. We do because we doubt or circumstances or things get weighted on us. Maybe too many darts are fired at us at once from the enemy. And we have that mentality to quit. But I want to tell you something. Don't quit. You know, when the dark, there used to be a song. The darkest hour is just before the dawn. Yeah, anybody know that song? It's old. It's old. But it's so true. We will go through things in our life, and right before our miracle, we give up. We give up. We throw the towel in. And we think, you know, and if we would have known and stuck with it, we would have received the miracle. Let's talk about that for a minute. You see, we give up because we don't see things. The Bible says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. But we want to walk by sight and not by faith. We want to look at the tangible thing and then say, well, I can have faith in it. But we need to walk by faith and not by sight. That's the difference right there. And some people can't do that. But you need to learn to do that. How you learn to do that, I keep going back to faith. Well, if you know who your God is and where your faith is, you'll go by faith and not by sight. Now, my dog back home, when he used to have the farm, I couldn't see her. She'd be in the woods, and I'd want her to come in, and I'd stand out in the back and say, or by the barn, and I'd holler her name. I'd just holler, Sassy, Sassy, Sassy. That's what the kids call the dog. And you know what? I would call her, and I couldn't see her because there would be woods around and things around. I couldn't see the dog. I'd just keep calling. The Bible says that we should call things that be not as though they are. You see, when we put our hope in faith, we might not see it, but we'll eventually see it. So I would step out in faith, and I knew my dog was going to come because she knew my voice. Now, I couldn't see her, but I'd call to her. And after about 5 or 10 minutes, she'd come running out of the woods with her tail wagging. You know, I could do that with my animals too, my horses, if they were way out in the back pasture, or my cows. But you see, I couldn't see it, but I started by faith because I said to myself, if I call them, they will come. Don't look at your natural eyes, but stand in faith. You see, it's just like popcorn, microwave popcorn. Okay? How much of us, our faith is like popcorn, microwave popcorn? What happens? We put this bag that's flat in the microwave. We want to watch a movie. And we're sitting there waiting for this thing to pop. And 10 seconds go by and nothing happens. 30 seconds goes by, nothing happens. A minute goes by and nothing happens. And then you're like, oh, I want to watch that movie. What's going on? This must be junk. Throw it out, grab another one, stick it in, think it's going to pop quicker. You know, nothing happens. It goes around. Maybe your microwave goes for 2 minutes and there's nothing. But then all of a sudden, it begins to pop. And then it begins to pop. And then it begins to pop. And that flat bag that looked empty, that there was nothing there, begins to fill up. And by the time it gets down to the 3 minutes it tells you to put it in, it's popped clearly full. You see, that's like our life. Don't give up before your popcorn pops. I tell you, that's probably the most profound word I could say. Because it does relate to our faith. to living by faith and not by sight, right? Because we didn't see that. We didn't think anything was going to happen. And that's how it is. We'll pray and we'll believe and we'll say, well, nothing's happening. It doesn't look any different. The popcorn's not popping. The bag's still flat. I still got the same problem. The mountain is still the same. But what we got to do, we got to hang on in faith. Because God's working behind the scene. He's at work. Our faith might be tried a little bit and tested to see if we're going to stick through it. But he's going to come through. He will come through. Because that's the God we serve. We serve this God that creates things and answers prayer. Don't give up. Whatever you folks are going through today, whether it's a problem with your job or whether it's a problem in your family or whether it's a sickness or maybe it's a problem in your thoughts and your mind, whatever it may be, realize that it's still going around in the microwave. The Holy Spirit's still twisting it around. But it's going to pop if you stand strong and you wait long enough. And you stand on the word. See, the Bible says, when you've done all, just stand. Stand and wait. And that's what you got to do is stand and wait for that popcorn to start pop, pop. And then it starts pop, pop, pop. Don't give up on God before your popcorn pops. Don't give up on God before that answer comes through for you. Because he wants to answer all your needs, all your prayers. Let's stand. No, let's not stand. Sit back down for a minute. I'm going to pray. This is like exercise. No, there was something. I played a video this morning. Somebody sent me this video. And, well, I know who sent it to me. But somebody sent me this video, and it's a share with other people. But when I watched it, I was moved spiritually. I actually sat in my office and cried. That I'm glad some people listen to the Lord and are moved in faith. So let's just take a minute before I end in prayer. Let's just watch this video.
We bow down and confess.
We bow down.
We bow down.
We
So strong this morning, and I think it goes along with my message. If that young man didn't want to hear the voice of the Lord and he didn't step out in faith, you see, sometimes we're the answer to somebody's mountain. That family needed milk, they had no money, and they were praying that they needed milk. This morning it just rocked me that we can be the answer to somebody's prayers if we step out in faith. If we don't, we may be answering somebody's mountain. That was a mountain to them. They had no money and they needed to feed that child. But I'm thankful that other young man was conscious to the Spirit of the Lord. And even though it seemed strange and out of character, he had enough faith to follow it through. Let's stand as we pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for your goodness and your mercy and your power, Lord. We thank you for your presence. We thank you that you've given us faith, Lord, in our life and the opportunity to develop faith, that we can use it to advance our lives for you, the kingdom of God here on this earth. Lord, I'm thankful that we can use faith as the foundation of our salvation and as the foundation of our life, Lord. I just pray today, Lord, that the words that were spoken to everyone today, Lord, I pray it'll pierce the heart. It'll stir the heart. It'll allow us to realize that You're bigger than any mound. You're greater than any mound. And that your name is above every name. And Lord, that your name's powerful. And when you show up on the scene, things happen, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you'll allow us to stay strong in our faith. Have that mustard seed faith in our life, Lord. And help us not to doubt, Lord, in you. Lord, let us not doubt in you. We know you're our Savior and our Deliverer, our Healer and our Provider. We give you praise this morning, Lord. I pray for anybody that's in this place that's going through a mountain that they don't feel they can overcome. Pray in the name of Jesus. I come against those mountains. I speak to the mountain in the name of Jesus to be removed in their lives in the name of Jesus. I speak life to these homes, to these families, to these jobs, to these physical healings, to marriages in the name of Jesus. I speak healing to that, Lord. We know that you're greater than anything. Thank you today for your goodness, Lord. Speak life. Pray that you direct us this week in faith, Lord. Pray that you keep our hearts close to you. Pray that you speak to us and that we listen and that we step out in faith and whatever we can do for your kingdom this week in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen. I hope that word spoke to you today. I hope it brings life to you, and I hope it causes you this week to have more faith in God.